Believing is so essential. David was a young shepherd, and in his time of isolation, he had opportunity to meditate upon the things of the Lord. He'd strum his harp probably and write another psalm and consider the good things of the Lord. He declared at one point, "I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well." He was nailing it down. He was letting himself know, and his enemies and whoever else might have been trying to discourage him, "I know what my God has done. I know how he has created me. I know he does marvelous works." Praise God. A shepherd boy, times of being alone, but he could meditate. He could contemplate about God's creation as he looked up at the stars. And then as he helped a lamb being born into this world. David wanted to praise the Lord for his marvelous works. And he wanted to assure himself, "My soul knoweth right well." Praise God. I'm thankful that David had those experiences that could convince him about God. The victories that he could testify about. How he defeated a bear that was trying to steal some sheep from him. How a lion came among the lambs, not just once, but twice. And David defeated that lion. And then a giant that he was able to slay and defend the name of our God. Thank the Lord that there are victories that our God would provide, victories that our Lord would minister to. From beginning to end, David was confident that the Lord was leading him. I like how he says it, "I was woven together in the dark of the womb." This is the NLT. "You saw me before I was born," he's telling the Lord. "Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out." His confidence was in God. He knew that the Lord would order his steps. He knew that God would take care of him. He goes on to say, "How precious are your thoughts about me, O God. They cannot be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of the sand." Oh, thank God that we serve one who knows where you are. He knows what your situation is. He knows how to minister. He knows how to provide. I'm thankful we can be confident in our God in that manner. He's the one who said, "I declare the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure." That's the God we believe. That's the God we put our trust in. He knows your beginning. He knows your end. And thank God he can be your counselor. He can be the one to give you the answers. He can be the one to give you direction. He can be the one to give you encouragement. Thank God that we can believe his power and his blessing. Now about believing. You've been in the doctor's office. You've sat in the exam room, and depending on what the specialty the doctor had, if it was orthopedics, there's a chart of the skeletal system and the joints and so on, so that he's able to refer. Now, here's what's happening to your shoulder. Here's what's wrong with your knee or your hip or whatever it might be. And he's able to explain. Or if you're in the ear, nose, and throat doctor, again, the charts are there, and the smallest bones of your body in your ear and so on. And I'm amazed. How does it all keep operating? How does it all keep going? For decades long, it keeps on going. And here, a pump on your car, a water pump on your car, can't even last 10 years. But your heart keeps pumping. Your lungs keep expanding. All of those things happen. What a great creator. What a great God. What a mighty God who's able to do that work. Praise God. I don't know much about each system, the nervous system, the circulatory system, all of those things. I don't know very much about it, but I sure know when it doesn't work right. I sure know when I'm sick. I sure know when something's not operating correctly. Thank God our God keeps it going. Thank God he's the creator. He's the designer. He's the one who is able to bring it about in the manner that he desires. Everything happened randomly? Everything happened by chance? Takes a lot of faith to believe that. Takes a lot of faith that to think it all just came about. It all just happened. It all just lined up. And, I'm glad I believe in a creator, the one who said, let there be light. Praise God. And his creative power was manifest. The writer to the Hebrews said, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. The Lord just spoke it into existence. The Lord just said, let there be, and it came to pass. Oh, I'm thankful that our God is able to manifest his power in that manner. But I'm even more thankful that his word is able to make a new creature out of me. His word is able to make a new creature out of you. Old things pass away. Behold, all things are become new. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. That's what our God can do. That's the power he can make. Now, back to the question. Believest thou this? The Lord wants believing to be personal. He wants you to own it. He wants you to be assured yourself. You'll notice that believing is there in our text three times. Believeth in me, he says twice. Believest thou makes the third time that he's talking about believing. Thank God it can become personal. Thank God it become real in your life. Not just something you read, not just a book that sits on the shelf, not just something that we hear about from time to time at Christmas and at Easter, but it's something that we can live 365 days out of the year. Because we know how powerful our God is. A man came to Jesus desperate for help for his son. Demonic spirits had caused great problems and were trying to destroy that boy by throwing him into a fire and into the water. That's the best that the devil has for you, friend. That's all that he can provide. And he is always trying to destroy. He's always trying to kill and to steal. And that was happening with this young boy. And so the father pleaded with Jesus, if thou canst do anything. Jesus heard him. Jesus saw the dilemma. Jesus answered that desperate father, if thou canst believe. Now the Lord was not being a smart aleck. The Lord was not just trying to lead him on or throw it back in his face. No, he was wanting that faith to be in his heart. The father tearfully cried out, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. And thankfully, his tears were turned to joy. Thank God for the healing that the Lord brought in that very moment. That they came with a need and they went home with the answer. They came with a problem, but the Lord sent them home with healing. Thank God that our God knows how to make believing effective. We can believe in our God. We can believe in his power. We can believe in his strength. Praise God. Jesus asked his disciples, who do men say that I am? He wasn't trying to take a poll. He wasn't trying to determine if he could be reelected. He wasn't trying to figure out what the situation was as far as public opinion was concerned. He was leading up to something with his disciples. The disciples answered his question. Some say you're John the Baptist. Some say you're Elijah or Jeremiah or another prophet. You can't ignore Jesus. There's got to be an opinion formed. And thank God there can be belief, there can be faith, there can be assurance. And then the Lord asked the disciples, whom do you say that I am? Let's bring it right home now. Let's make it personal. What do you think? What do you say? Who do you say that I am? You know, that I am phrase is so powerful because that's what God spoke to Moses out of the burning bush. clear back in Exodus chapter 3. I am that I am. Praise God. He wasn't saying a riddle. He wasn't giving a puzzle. He was declaring he is the self-efficient, sufficient, eternal, existent one. Dependent on no one, dependent on nothing. Praise God. He is all-powerful. He is almighty. Who do you say that I am? Peter's answer was very clear. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus pronounced a blessing upon that revelation. Oh, thank God that there can be faith within our hearts. There can be an understanding of who Jesus is. There can be an experience of his power and his blessing in our lives. I'm thankful that the Bible says God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Everybody has a measure of faith. Everybody can understand about the aspects of faith. Amen. You got in your car this morning and you turned that key. You didn't have to go through a whole bunch of mumbo jumbo to hope that it got turned on, to hope that it started. Some had trouble with their car, but they'll get it fixed. They'll get it taken care of. When we came in today, we flipped the switches on the wall and the lights turn on. We didn't have to go through a whole understanding of the electrons and electricity and everything going through. I can understand about stuff, but I don't have to explain it. Thank God I can understand how my God works. I can understand how my Lord is able to bring it about. I don't have to explain it. I can't explain it, but my God gets the answers for us. Hallelujah. And faith makes it possible for us to please him. Without faith, it's impossible to please him, the Bible says. But he that cometh to God must believe. There it is again. Must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That's the trouble with the world today. There's no diligent seeking. There's too much time with their nose spent in the computer and in the device, too much time spent in the media that is going to take them away from believing in God. Too many bad reports that are happening in our world, and discouragement and despair settle down upon each one. Thank God we can spend time in the word of the Lord. We can spend time in his presence. We can spend time worshiping his great name. We can spend time understanding how he is able to reward those who diligently seek him and believe upon his name. Praise God. We don't have to manufacture faith. We don't have to create faith on our own. It's just receive the measure of faith that the Lord has given you and operate in that. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The Bible lets us know that's how you increase your faith, spending time in his word. Thank God that you're here today to hear the teaching and the preaching. Thank God that you spend time reading it and studying it, because the more you do, the more your faith will grow, and the more you can be an overcomer, because that's the key. The victory that overcomes the world is your faith. So increase it, thank God, by knowing what the word of the Lord says, by knowing the power of God. So do we see to believe, or do we believe to see? That was the question that was presented here at Lazarus' death. Lazarus was sick, and then he died. And now we come to our text, and Jesus declaring, "Whoso liveth and believeth in me shall never die." Let me clarify something here now. Living and believing in the Lord doesn't mean that you're never going to die. No, that's the way we get out of here and leave this body of pain and move into the realm where there is no pain, there is no crying, there is no sorrow, there is no death. That's the promise that the Lord has for us. Praise God. What he was referring to was a future resurrection, where we are going to be ushered into eternal life, where it will be everlasting joy, and the power of the Lord will be displayed on our behalf. Praise God. Amen. He raised Jairus' daughter. He raised the widow's son, but they would face death eventually. He was speaking of a resurrection to everlasting life. And the Bible tells us the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Praise God. In the resurrection, death loses its sting. The grave loses its victory. Thank God for the power of the Lord that can be displayed in this situation. But as he's talking to Mary and Martha, and they tell him the same thing. Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. They put it in the past. The Lord said, I am the resurrection and the life. Do you believe that? Oh, we believe that there's a resurrection. Praise God. But oh, the Lord would demonstrate his power. He also showed his love and his concern and his compassion for them. The Bible says he groaned. The shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept. Because he had no answers? Because he had no power? No, he didn't show those human characteristics because he was powerless. But because he is touched, the Bible says, with the feelings of our infirmities. He knows how you feel when you hurt. He knows how you feel when you're discouraged. He knows how you feel when you're sick. He knows and understands all of that. That's why he's able to intervene. That's why he's able to step into your circumstances as the Christ of every crisis and bring forth the answer that you need. And thank God we can believe him. Thank God we can know his power and his goodness. Amen. He walked with them to the tomb. They stood there looking at the finality of that grave. Lazarus, their beloved brother, lying there in the stone, in the cold. 4 days it had been, and he told them, roll the stone away. They hesitated. They argued. Lord, he's been dead 4 days. They knew the effect that death would have had on Lazarus' body. But Jesus said, if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. There it is again, believing and obeying. So essential to be able to see the glory of the Lord. They followed through. Jesus stepped to the opening of that grave, and he called Lazarus forth. So simple, so direct, so effective, so powerful. Lazarus, come forth. And the scripture concludes, he that was dead was dead. Not anymore. He's walking out of that tomb. He's walking as best he can. He's trying to maintain his balance because their tradition was to wrap you up in grave clothes. He had a napkin over his face, and he comes waddling out of that tomb. And Jesus said, loose him and let him go. Oh, thank God. I'm thankful the Lord can bring us into new life. I'm thankful the Lord can loose us from our problems, from our addictions, from our situations, from our needs. Thank God our God is able to bring forth the power that will bring life to us. Hallelujah. And the strength that we need. Think about the joy of Lazarus being reunited with his sisters, Mary and Martha, with all of his friends, all the hugging that went on, all the smiles that were given, all the tears that flowed. Thank God we can have that kind of joy. We can have that kind of liberty. We can step into the realm of newness that our Lord provides. Our sin in the past doesn't have to hold us back. Our mistakes don't need to drag us down. Our failures don't need to make us it seems as though it's final, it's over, it's done. No, I'm thankful that our God is the God of resurrection. Now, the most important resurrection, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. His death was stamped indelibly upon the minds of his disciples. It was so drastic. It was so traumatic. 6 hours of hanging upon that cross. The earthquake, the darkness, all added to their fear and to their gloom. They just sunk even lower. And when they heard Jesus cry on the cross, it is finished. They may have felt like it's over. It's over. It's done. He's gone. We're not going to see the healings. We're not going to see the miracles. The miracle maker has died. He's breathed his last. But what they didn't understand, that when Jesus said, it is finished, he meant Sin's dominion is defeated. The devil's deceit is destroyed. Nothing needs to hold you back now from believing his power and his blessing. You can move into the realm of understanding how great and how wonderful our God is. You can pray in the name of Jesus Christ, and his healing touch will come upon your body. You can defeat the devil when he comes to you with his lies, and you can rebuke him in the name of Jesus Christ and know the power of God to defeat all that the enemy would throw against you. Yes, it is finished. Our God has done the work. Hallelujah. And the power of God is so powerful and wonderful. But they didn't see it that way at that moment. The stone rolled in front of the tomb was so final, especially when the seal of the Roman government was placed upon it. The soldiers were dispatched to that place. They thought, it's over. It's done. What we dreamed about, what we rejoiced in, it's gone. But oh, thank the Lord, it wasn't over. Amen. It's not done. Praise God. Sunday is on its way. Praise God. The power of the Lord is going to be displayed. Those sorrowful women went their way to the tomb, and they're wondering, what shall we do about the stone? You taught a masterful lesson, Sister Donna. What a great job. And here they come now wondering, what are we going to do? How's it going to happen? And the stone was already rolled aside. The angels were there to witness. He's not here, but is risen. Why seek ye the living among the dead? Praise God. I wonder how they tried to process that. I wonder what their expressions were. How did they look at each other? How fast did they walk back to tell the disciples? Oh, praise God. I'm thankful that they took the message to those who were waiting in sorrow. And then it seemed like idle tales. They didn't believe it. You see, the death was so final. It was so horrendous. It was so tragic. They couldn't get it out of their minds. They lived it again and again. But oh, hallelujah. And Mary Magdalene insisted. She saw Jesus and spoke to him. And they heard that he was alive and had been seen of her. But they believed not. Oh, sometimes we struggle. Sometimes we just have a difficult time taking the promise of the Lord and applying it to our lives. Jesus told them many times that he was going to die, but he was going to rise again on the third day. Amen. Praise God. You would have thought that they would have been there just waiting, just camping out. And checking their clocks or looking at the sundials, I guess they had sundials, and the sun coming up, the sun going down. One more time, it's going to happen, and then that tomb is going to be empty, because that's what he said. You'd have thought they believed that, but our humanity is so weak. We lose faith. We struggle with believing. I'm glad our God understands that. I'm glad our God comes along and lifts us up and bolsters up and encourages us. Praise God. And we can believe the scriptures. Oh, I'm thankful that Jesus appeared to the disciples and said, peace be unto you. Peace be unto you. He knew what they needed. He knew the emotional turmoil they were going through. He knew the questions and the confusions that were in their minds. And that's why he said, peace be unto you. He said it four times. Four different times he appeared to his disciples. Peace be unto you. Oh, thank God that the Lord can come to us in the midnight hour. Thank God the Lord can come to us in our times of difficulty, in our times of struggling with disease, in our times when we're desperately seeking answers, and he can say, peace be unto you, and peace that passes understanding, the Bible says, can keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. I'm thankful that we can bring our needs to him. I'm thankful we can call upon him. I'm thankful that we can look to him and know his blessing. Praise God. And he'll even call you by name. Even come right to your situation. One of the disciples heard what the other said about seeing the risen Lord. And Thomas wanted to see for himself. He said, I want to touch the nail prints. I want to feel the wound in his side. I won't believe until I see that. And Jesus appeared to him, and to all of the disciples, walked right up to Thomas, said, touch my hands, touch my side. Be not faithless, but believing. He wants the faith to be personal. Praise God. Be not faithless, but believing. Thomas stood there in wonder. Thomas stood there with assurance, and he declared, my Lord and my God. Hallelujah. Amen. Then Jesus said to him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. That's you. Praise God. That's me. That's all of us that can understand what the Lord desires in believing him. Praise God. I wonder what the Roman authorities thought. I wonder what the religious authorities thought. I know they came up with schemes. They came up with ideas. They came up with reports and all of that sort of thing. And authors and screenwriters today imagine different scenarios of confusion and conspiracy and all of that kind of stuff. Hollywood puts out their productions about zombies and The Walking Dead. I guess that's their idea of the resurrection. Thank God I know the power of the resurrection. Thank God I know the power of the Lord. Thank God I know I don't have to imagine. I know. Hallelujah. I know what the Lord has done. Nor do we have to imagine what came next. We know what came next. Praise God. Jesus met with his disciples over a 40-day period. Over 500 witnessed that he was alive. And the Lord gave more promises. Remember, he said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. That was his promise. Now he's going to fulfill it. Praise God. And he gave even more promises. He told them to wait for the promise of the Father, that you're going to be endued with power from on high. He gave them another promise. You shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria, the uttermost parts of the world. Praise God. Then he said repentance and remission of sins would be preached in his name, beginning at Jerusalem. That's why he sent them back. That's why he had them return. They watched him ascend into the clouds. And then they returned to Jerusalem with great joy because they were believing the promise, believing the Lord was going to fulfill his word. And so they stayed in that prayer meeting day after day. They encouraged each other. Praise God. They were thankful to be there. Mary, the mother of Jesus, was there. And they just kept on praying. Supplication, praises, worshiping God. Suddenly, I'm thankful God does a sudden work. I'm thankful he can put it layer upon layer, line upon line. But I'm thankful he can also suddenly appear. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as Acts chapter 2 reads. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire. And I sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Oh, my. I'm thankful it all happened to them. All filled. Nobody left out. Nobody needs to be left out. Praise God. And there were devout men in Jerusalem from every nation. And they gathered to hear what was going on. 120 of these people speaking in other languages. What's going on here anyway? They said, we hear them speaking in our tongues the wonderful works of God. What's going on? I'm thankful that Peter preached to answer the questions. He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You shall. Not maybe, not possibly. You shall. Praise God. For the promises unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Oh, I'm thankful that promise is there. I'm thankful I can read Acts 2, 38 and 39 again and again. And no, that's not just for that day. It's for our day. Hallelujah. It's not just for our day. It's for my grandkids' day. Hallelujah. I know the Lord will fulfill his promise. I know he will do the work. Praise God. And they kept on witnessing about the resurrection. With great power, the Bible says, they gave witness of it. You believe that? Same. That's what we come back to. Believest thou this? Yes, you can. John explained that these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. Praise God. See, is Easter more than history? Easter more than a celebration with traditions? Easter, the important truth, he's alive. Jesus is alive. Praise God. Praise God. You know the benefits of all of what he accomplished there, defeating hell and the grave, defeating death. Praise God. I'm thankful that we know that blessing and we know that power. You see, John 1 and 12, right from the very beginning, he let them know that those who receive him and those who believe in his name have the power to become the sons of God. And then that promise repeated at the end of John 20 and 31, believing you might have life through his name. Praise God. And I'm thankful that believing comes in our lives. Believing means so much. And it doesn't mean just nodding your head, raising your hand. Yeah, I believe. It means you're going to step into even greater things that God has for you. You're going to find even more of what God has promised and how it's going to be fulfilled in your life, in your family. Praise God. That's why in Acts chapter 19, the Lord found some followers of John the Baptist. And he asked them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Haven't heard about it. How were you baptized? John's baptism. John said, believe on the one to come after him, on Jesus Christ. And when they heard that, they were baptized again in the name of Jesus Christ. And they received the Holy Ghost. And Paul heard them speak in other tongues. Oh, I thank God for a concrete experience that we can know, that we know, that we know. And the devil can't lie about it. The devil can't defeat you. The devil can't discourage you about it. Praise God. I was there when it happened, and I guess I ought to know. Amen. Stand with me today, please. Romans 15, 13. Got to cut this short. These kids are ready. But we're going to pray for a little bit before we let them go out and find those eggs. Because we're going to find some things that God wants to give us. We're going to find some blessings that God wants to bestow right here, right now, in the next few minutes. Because look at what Romans 15, 13 says. Now, the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing.
Yes.
That's what believing does? Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. Because you're believing the God of hope. And he wants to fill you just like he filled those on the day of Pentecost with joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope and abundance, overwhelming, overflowing, through the power of the Holy Ghost. Oh, thank God that he makes that power available. He makes that power what we can receive and we can believe. Believest thou this? Praise God. And if you answer that affirmatively, you answer that with an assurance, you answer that with, yes, I believe it. I'd like for you to come and stand in this altar area. We're going to pray in just a few moments. We're going to trust that God is going to help us to believe it, to receive it, to act on it, to live with it. Praise God. That's what he wants to do. And oh, thank the Lord for that power and that goodness that we can know. The God of hope. He wants to instill that hope. He wants to impart that joy. He wants to give you that peace. Hallelujah. And the power of the Holy Ghost to operate in your life. Can we praise him together right now? Can we worship him and